From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They come to the final 16. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside. Then it's Still Regard. They're coming to the wire. He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
It's Pavel with a four-length lead. Honorable Duty moves into second, trying to close. Mature in the outside. Hawakam, but they're all chasing Pavel. Pavel wins the Stephen Foster by three on the wire.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And Tenfold takes charge. Ricardo Santana Jr. and Tenfold have taken the lead, moving away from Flame Away. Vino Rosso kicking it in late. Tenfold is bearing out through the stretch, but Tenfold will win the Jim Dandy.
Wondergadot's in front, and she's dashed away in the Queen's Plate, ahead by a century and a second. But there's no doubt who's the best today, and it's all about Wondergadot, Wonder Woman herself, demolishes them in the Queen's Plate.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Saratoga. Good morning. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, Baron and Pontiff, live trackside at Saratoga Racecourse in Saratoga Springs, New York. Had to start the show in that fashion because we went to dinner with our good friend Larry Colmus last night, and he ordered a bottle of wine at a very nice Italian restaurant here in Saratoga, and it was Jim Nance wine. And I said, okay, that's it. Now I can be a little more Jim Nance-like on the show this morning. I've drank from the cup.
I think maybe that's why we're slow waking up this morning.
Hey, it was only one bottle. We had three of us drinking it. I did okay.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Good to know. You seem fine now.
Yeah. Everything is good. The minute that light goes on, here we go. And we're happy to have you with us this morning on this Whitney Stakes Day. Win and you're in. It's that simple here this afternoon. A spot in the starting gate of the Breeders' Cup Classic on the line in that 91st running of the $1.2 million Whitney. We're going to have coverage for you this afternoon of two grade ones, not just the Whitney, but the race preceding the Whitney, the grade one test for the three-year-old fillies at 7 furlongs on the main track. All that coverage beginning 5 o'clock Eastern, and you can tune in nationwide on Sirius XM 83. Of course, on affiliates across the country, and stream us worldwide at horseracingradio.net. JT, a bit of a gray start to this Saturday morning. We had some rain over the past couple of days in Saratoga, quite a bit of rain in this part of the country, actually. It was a muddy main track throughout much of the afternoon. It continues to be muddy right now as the horses train this morning. Still had those battleship gray skies overhead, but not raining at the moment. And I'm telling you right now, it will be a fast track by the time they run those races later today.
Well, you keep saying that, and we'll see what happens later on this afternoon.
You have been doubting me.
Well, you know, you look around and you see nothing but gray skies. The only two guys that see any blue at all are you and Mark Hennig. So, you know, I don't know what's going on with you two, but I mean, it's gray everywhere. We'll see what happens. They got the dogs up, so the horses cannot train on the inner part of the racetrack. They can only train outside the dogs. And there's been a few gallopers, mostly joggers this morning. I imagine a lot of horses are going to the training track. Speaking of Mark Hennig, he posted a picture of a lake near his barn that wasn't there yesterday. Tom Morley also had a picture on Twitter of a lot of standing water. So I imagine it's harder to get to the racetrack than it is to train on the racetrack.
Yeah,
so.
And you know, the forecast, at least according to weather.com, is showing that by about 11 o'clock this morning, the clouds are supposed to be out of here, and we should have sunny skies and, again, showing a lot of sun throughout the afternoon. A slight chance of rain as we get deeper into the afternoon, about 30-40% chance around 5 o'clock or so. But for the most part, looking like a pretty good day here in Saratoga. And, hey, even if it rains, you're in Saratoga.
Yeah, it's nice to be here. We would prefer, you know, weather clear, track fast, but you can't have everything. And an excellent card today. I just hope the scratches don't decimate it.
Yeah.
It was really a nice card coming in. A lot of contentious races, a lot of great stakes. We have 5 stakes this afternoon, including the 2 grade ones. But, you know, we'll just have to deal with it.
Good stakes race yesterday here. You heard it on the Horse Racing Radio Network as part of our Express Bet radio program, the Grade 2 National Museum of Racing Hall of Fame Stakes in honor of the Hall of Fame inductees that went into the Hall of Fame yesterday, including the great Heavenly Prize, who was inducted. She was the lone candidate in the contemporary category, the only entry that got in into the Hall of Fame yesterday in that category. And, Jude, we saw Raging Bull run down Marad in the last jump yesterday to win that Hall of Fame stakes and give Chad Brown another victory in that race. He's now won it, gosh, I guess it's been, what, 5 out of the past 8 runnings.
Wow. Well, Raging Bull was impressive yesterday, owned by Peter Brandt, and he came flying at the end of the race and just got up, beat Marad, and it was a very thrilling finish.
Let's talk about the Whitney for a minute and what we're going to see later today. The spotlight's going to be on a couple of top New York breds. And you have Diversify, who is the 7-5 morning line favorite, ultra quick. You know his game. He likes to throw the gauntlet down and get to the front and say, catch me if you can. Then you have Mind Your Biscuits, who is the richest New York bred of all time. He's going to try 2 turns for the first time this afternoon. He's been very good at a mile, but a 1-turn mile at Belmont Park. Now he has to prove he can go 2 turns and get the longer distance here today.
Yeah, I think he's got the right style, and horses that run well at 7 furlongs like he does, they usually like the mile and an 1/8 distance. So I think he's got that in his favor. But he's going to have to run down Diversify, whose last race was absolutely ridiculous, off the charts as far as pace and speed figures are concerned. You know, if he can repeat that race, or even if he bounces a little bit, he's going to be very tough. He worked 59 flat here July 29th, getting ready for this one. And, you know, Rick Violet, he's a very good trainer, and he really watches this horse like a hawk. So you got to figure if he's in there, he feels like he's ready for a big effort.
You're going to hear from Rick Violet coming up later in the program. He's set to join us live in living color right here at 9 o'clock Eastern time. So looking forward to that visit. Also going to hear from Jim Gluckson from the Breeders' Cup. He'll tell you about that Win in Your Inn program and the series. And, you know, you look at the classic races, there are 7 opportunities to punch your ticket to the Breeders' Cup Classic throughout the year. We'll see if you know, who can do it today in the Whitney. So Jim's going to join us right about 8:12 Eastern time, so about 5 minutes from right now after our first commercial break. Heedley Bell is going to join us as well. Heedley with Millridge and Nakoma. He's going to talk about the Fasig Tipton sale, which takes place across the street here at Saratoga Monday and Tuesday night. Of course, we'll have exclusive coverage of both nights of the sale presented by Embrace the Race and the Maryland Horse Breeders Association. So you want to make sure you visit our website to check out more information there. But Heedley's going to join us at 8:33 Eastern. You're going to hear from Ian Wilkes, who took the time to join us yesterday on Express Bet Radio. He talked about his Whitney contender, McCracken. And then Ken Ramsey's going to be here as well. He's actually going to join us over the phone from his house in Saratoga. He's entertaining a bunch of guests for this afternoon's Whitney. He sends out Backyard Heaven. And he'll join us right around 9:20 Eastern time. So a lot of things to get to.
Yeah, Mr. Ramsey has a big crew over at the house. So he's probably flipping flapjacks and making eggs.
He said he had to be a gracious host.
Yeah,
is what
you know that he would be. He'll put out the extra effort. And, so we understand why he couldn't come out. Ordinarily, he'd be here. He likes to come out in the morning.
Yeah, he does love it. Let's throw out our poll question that you can weigh in on at HRRN. On Twitter. You can do it, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook as well. We're going to do it a little differently today. Rather than just saying who's going to win the Whitney, we'll do it this way. In the interest of the new sports betting that is kind of taking the country by storm, here you go. It's going to be a prop bet today, and you have your choice. Head-to-head matchup. You can take Diversify, or you can take Mind Your Biscuits. Doesn't mean that they have to win, but who's going to finish in front of the other one? All right, head-to-head, who you like in today's Whitney, Diversify or Mind Your Biscuits? And I know that our friends at the New York Thoroughbred Breeders Association are going to be happy with that poll question with 2 top New York breds.
Yeah, well, the New York breds have been coming on for the last several years, and they can compete with anybody. So it's not surprising to see them topping the field this afternoon.
Yeah, of course, if either one of those two should win, they would join commentator and Fio Rito is the only New York breds ever to win the Whitney. Of course, commentator did it twice in 2005 and came back in 2008 to win it again for Hall of Famer Nick Zito. All right, a lot to get to. Jim Gluckson from the Breeders' Cup is going to be with us as soon as we come back from this first break. You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Are you looking for New York bred weanlings by up-and-coming sires? Are you looking for an alternative to auctions? Bergen Stables has colts by War Dancer and Palace, and fillies by Jack Milton and Liaison. Come see the foals with their dams. And when you purchase, once the time is right to wean them, they're yours. Make your appointment today. Call 201-463-1174 or visit bergenstables.com. Bergen Stables, breeding in partnerships that get you close to the horse.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonySteaksandSeafood.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
He's as well-bred as horses get. As a son of Dyna former, we see Temple City following that same path.
Archegalos has got it won. The Gray Stakes to Archegalos and scores too late.
Annals of Time just flew past him, and Annals of Time, a striking one.
Miss Temple City, ironic as charging, Miss Temple City.
The start that he's gotten off to has just been spectacular. We're really excited about the future.
Temple City, now standing at Spindrift Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
Okay, this is Carl Nasker, and I listen to HRRN.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And Ron the Greek is picking off horses one by one. He's spun very wide, though, by Flat Out. Then Caixa Electronica down toward the rail. Fort Larned comes away with the lead with a bold run at the 3/16. It's Fort Larned in front by five. Ron the Greek way out in the middle of the track. Hembook and Flat Out coming down to the finish with Fort Larned to catch. Fort Larned to catch, and they're not going to catch him. Fort Larned the winner by a diminishing length and a half. Ron the Greek photos for the runner-up spot with Flat Out. Hembook was fourth in the Whitney with a time of 1:47.3.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Baron and Pontiff, that's Penna and Feld, trackside on a gray, overcast morning here in Saratoga Springs. But the forecast is for sunny conditions as we move throughout the afternoon and edge closer to this year's renewal of the Grade 1 $1.2 million Whitney. That call from Tom Durkin, the 2012 running Fort Larned for trainer Ian Wilkes, who you're going to hear from later in the program. Boy, impressive that afternoon. He would be impressive all year long in 2012, including using that win in the Whitney as a springboard to victory in the Breeders' Cup Classic later that same season. Speaking of the Breeders' Cup, our good friend Jimmy Gluckson is with us. He handles all the media relations with Breeders' Cup, so he's on top of things throughout the entire year. And, Jimmy, happy Whitney Day, my friend.
Happy Whitney Day. Thanks for having me. Good to be here, Mike. Jude, good to be here. Thanks very much for having me.
You had to get up a little early to join us this morning, about a 25-minute drive to the track.
Like I said, I have a great face for radio at this hour. So.
I told you, they've been telling us that for 15 years, so you're in good company.
Thanks, fellas.
Well, what a race here today. The focus is on a couple of the top New York breds in the country, but Diversify and Mind Your Biscuits. But then you throw in the likes of Backyard Heaven, you throw in Good Samaritan, really good renewal of the Whitney.
A great day for a graveyard of favorites. Upset today, I would say, but I think Backyard Heaven is going to make amends. I think today, coming from the Foster, I would not be surprised on that. I think, but Diversify is tremendous on this racetrack last year, the Evan Shipman, and with the Suburban recently, so its favoritism is warranted. And you have Chad Summers rubbing his hands in glee and figuring out a master plan to try to win here today. And I'm looking also at a long shot here to hit the board and perhaps do some more damage, and that would be Good Samaritan for Bill Mott. That's another one that I'm thinking about if things if the conditions change today around the Whitney. Again, emphasize, this is a race of tremendous history for us, and you have a number of horses that have taken a win and you're in here, like Blame, for example, and Fort Larned, and turned those into classic victories. And going back a little further with Invasor, and also again, the terrific race. And even further, again, Lady Secret, a horse of the year who won the Whitney, and also Person Lenson, who won the Distaff in 1988. So I think it's a tremendous race. That's it's been a great opportunity for us, because this is actually where the Breeders' Cup Challenge program began in 2007 here at Saratoga. So it's a nice homecoming in that sense for the program here at Saratoga.
Yeah, Gunrunner, of course, pulled off the victory here last year, of course, winning the Classic. He's another one, more recently, of course, doing it last year. But think about what this program has meant to racing, Jimmy. And I don't know if you could have ever envisioned, when this program came together, the folks at Breeders' Cup, I know, were very proud of it, but I don't know if you could ever imagine where it would end up today.
I think going back this far, this was an important thing to do, to put the second half of the year together by creating a path for horses to qualify and to give an incentive to run, and to also provide fans with an opportunity to see who's going to get in the races. It's also been great for horsemen who have two or three other horses that they want to get to the Breeders' Cup. And when you take a $150,000 entry fee and you take that and it's given to you as a gift, in essence, you can think about bringing another horse in. Now, we have instituted the program in recent years where all horses based in the United States will be paid a $10,000 travel and allowance fee for each horse that they bring in based outside of state of Kentucky, and $40,000 from overseas. That's also added a benefit to filling our fields and creating great betting races. We love the 12 to 14 horse fields that we get for the Breeders' Cup, and the unpredictable nature of the races.
Well, it's so important to create interest as we head towards the Breeders' Cup, and to expose the fans to these horses so they have the Breeders' Cup to look forward to. I mean, it just makes marketing sense all over the place.
I would say I agree completely, Jude. I think that, and combined with our NBC Sports commitment to the series with America's Best Racing as our sponsor of the Breeders' Cup Challenge Winning Your In series, we have 11 broadcasts this year leading to the championships. This being one, we'll be back here for the Woodward and later this month. I think that makes it makes complete sense, and I think it gives fans that kind of rooting interest to follow the races along and the horses as we move forward. I would also say this program has helped us overseas just recently a winner in Peru in the Grand Premio Pamplona, a horse, a filly named Smart Choice, was now sent to the United States and now is in the barn of Todd Pletcher, going to take a shot at the filly Emer Turf. We saw Poet's Word last week. He won another Breeders' Cup Challenge race after first qualifying at Royal Ascot in the Prince of Wales Stakes. It came back and he won the King George VI and Queen Elizabeth Stakes. We hope that he is coming over. Recently we had a veteran, Lightning Spear, who won the Sussex Stakes, the Qatar Sussex Stakes at Goodwood, has a good chance that he is coming over. So this is all quite developing internationally for us as well as domestically.
You know, I remember when this program first started, that was a time when the racing world was talking about trying to create some type of a, not necessarily a league, but some type of a schedule for racing where fans could follow the sport easier than rather than having graded stakes kind of scattered all throughout the calendar. And this has kind of done that, Jimmy. It's kind of taken that, as you said, the second half of the year and really organized it and given it a structure where now fans, it's not quite like the NFL where you know, okay, on this particular Sunday the Steelers are playing the Ravens or the Bengals or whatever it is. But you do have that structure now to the second half of the season through the Breeders' Cup Challenge program.
Mike, it's a valid point. Next week at Arlington with the Million, Beverly D, you have Winning Urines there. Back here at Saratoga on Traverse Day, we have at least three of the Winning Urines that day.
Yep.
Then we return later in September when Santa Anita opens again for West Coast qualifying. And I'm sorry, I should also mention Pacific Classic Day.
Yeah.
We have two qualifiers there. So it does. It is providing structure. And then there's the bang-up doubleheader weekend at Keeneland to finish it out with the Shadwell Turf Mile. And I think we have Claiborne Breeders' Futurity that weekend as well. So it in a sense of a circuit of hitting the big meets in the second half of the year, the program does accomplish that goal.
And it's so important for the racetracks, too, because it ups the field size. So many people want that free trip to the Breeders' Cup. It's
yes.
Almost like winning a trip to Vegas
or
something.
Fletcher talked about that, right, where he said if it comes down to trying to pick a spot for a horse and there's a race that's a challenge, winning you're in, and there's another race that's not a winning you're in, even if they had the same purse, we're going to the winning you're in. It has more on the line.
I would say that's, a valid point. Plus, you don't have to worry about the oversubscribed races, which we have many of. The sprint usually overfills, as an example. The juvenile turf and the juvenile fillies turf overfill. And this year, of course, we have a brand-new race in the juvenile turf sprint, and we'll have three winning urines to get horses into that event. So those are determining factors also, especially when you don't want to have to wait to have the committee to select your horse into the race.
Talking with Jim Gluckson from the Breeders' Cup here on the Equine Forum presented by Red Brand Fence on the Horse Racing Radio Network. In case you're wondering, now just 90 days, 4 hours, 2 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Churchill Downs
Start
in Louisville,
packing.
Kentucky. Yeah, let me tell you, we've already started doing some prep for our broadcast. We have all that coverage there over the course of the 2 days. It's quite an undertaking, but so much fun. So many storylines associated with those championship races. Jimmy, the Whitney today is one of 7 winning urines for the Classic Division. We've seen some tickets punched already. That started back in February with, and I hope I get the name right, Nankono Yumi, the Japanese bred,
yes,
who won the February Stakes in Japan.
In Japan.
We saw Pavel take the Stephen Foster, and we saw Good Magic win the Haskell last weekend.
How about that Good Magic? Let's just see if we can have a Breeders' Cup juvenile winner come back and win the Breeders' Cup Classic.
How cool would that be?
Would that be? Yes, that would be very cool. So that was a very good performance, and we'll see about as the rest of this season moves along. We have the Awesome Again out in California, and of course the Jack Lab Gold Cup, and is another the others that are continuing on here. I think that also with these races being televised, it is also helping in a big way of, again, exposing the stars of the sport. So it is a competitive arrangement, and I think we'll fill this field again with 14 for a $6 million race.
Yeah. Yeah, the NBC coverage this afternoon, 5 to 6 Eastern. Is it NBC or NBCSN?
This is NBCSN, which also will include coverage of the test, the Longines test as well today.
Good, good. And if you can't get to the television, we have you covered on the radio side. Sirius XM 83 is your home. And, of course, stream us worldwide at horseracingradio.net. So a lot of ways to experience what promises to be a great day here at Saratoga this afternoon.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. It's a tremendous place to be.
How about the test stakes? What do you like in the test? I'm putting you on the spot.
I'm not going to make a call.
He's singularly focused on the winning.
That's
end.
Right.
As he should be.
That's right. We're focused today on the Whitney. Who do you guys like?
I'm a good Samaritan guy. I think if somebody's pulling off an upset
for the Whitney.
Here,
oh, I thought you meant the test stakes.
Okay. So the Whitney, I'm a good Samaritan guy. I think he can pull off a bit of a shocker here this afternoon, but I think Diversify is going to be hard to handle because I don't know if anybody can challenge him on the front end. The test stakes, I was an Alter Moon guy in there.
The other Chad Brown, because I like the other Chad Brown, Separation of Powers. She's won a race on an off track. She's the only American Grade 1 winner in here. She won the Frisette.
Yeah.
She was a 5-1 in the Juvenile Fillies and disappointed. So I think she owes you there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And
absolutely.
She had a lot of trouble last time, too. Her comeback race, she had tons of trouble.
Yeah. Post time for the test, 5:10 Eastern time. Post time for the Whitney, right around 5:46 or so. And, again, all that coverage this afternoon on NBCSN and right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network on the radio side of things. Jimmy, real quick before we let you go, our poll question we threw out this morning that people are weighing in on at HRN on Twitter, it's a prop bet, a head-to-head. You can take Diversify or Mind Your Biscuits. Who's finishing in front of the other one? Who do you like?
Oh, Diversify will finish ahead.
Of Mind Your Biscuits.
Mind Your Biscuits, yes. That's my vote.
All right. There it is. Jimmy Gluckson, Breeders' Cup. Jimmy, always a lot of fun, buddy. Appreciate you getting up early to be with us this morning.
Not a problem. And thanks for your commitment on an everyday basis to Thoroughbred Racing with your programs.
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it. Jim Gluckson, Breeders' Cup, like all of our guests who appear on the program, he will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. When we come back, our good friend Heedley Bell from Millridge and Nakoma will be with us right here on the Equine Forum. Stay with us. It's your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
It was 1942. America was in the throes of a worldwide conflict. Guadalcanal had not yet taken its final massive toll. Rationing, victory gardens, Rosie the Riveter, and victory bonds were the common bywords of the American public. Sports head Joe Louis, Joe DiMaggio, and Whirlaway as national idols. On Saturday, September 19, 1942, amidst a vast, massive war effort, the marvelous 3-year-old Thoroughbred Al Sab and Calumet's 4-year-old Whirlaway, who had won racing's fabled Triple Crown in 1941, went postward in a much-anticipated, much-ballyhooed match race at Narragansett Park near Providence, Rhode Island. The race itself was the concept of Judge James A. Dooley, the president of Narragansett, and it was a winner-take-all, wait-for-age affair for a then-huge purse of $25,000. The track's profit for the day was to go to the Army and Navy Relief Fund. There were more than 35,000 racing fans on hand at Gansett that day, and they were not to depart disappointed, for what was about to unfold was to become, to this very day, one of the all-time classic confrontations in the world of sport. Al Sab, the 3-year-old, carried 119 pounds, while Lowell Longtail, as Whirlaway had come to be affectionately bemonikered by the racing public, had an impost of 126. Both were razor-sharp and were escorted to the paddock by a special police guard. In stall two, Ben Jones, the trainer of Whirlaway, assisted by his son Jimmy, saddled the Calumet standard-bearer in the famed Devil's Red and Blue Silks. Tightening the girth in stall six on Al Sab was the redoubtable Sarge Swenke. There was an enormous crowd around the paddock trying to position themselves for even a fleeting glimpse of the two titans of the turf. A loud, prolonged applause rippled through the stands as Carol Bierman and the Irons aboard the great Al Sab and the infamous Georgie the Iceman Wolf on Whirlaway brought their stalwarts postward. Whirlaway was a 3-10 favorite, Al Sab 8-5. The distance of the race was 1 3/16 miles, and as the gates flew open, the Devil's Red and Blue Silks of Whirlaway flashed to the front along the rail. Bierman aboard Al Sab quickly picked up the pace and, as expected, quickly hustled his mount to the front, crossing over to the rail. It was Alsab by a length and a half going to the clubhouse turn, but Wolf had the big Calumet colt going along easily and would not allow Alsab to get off and set an uncontested pace. They hit the quarter in 25-2, and as they rounded the turn going to the long run down the backside, it was Alsab by two with Bierman constantly glancing back at his rival, who was keeping closer to the pace than was his normal style. They hit the hop in a rather pedestrian 50-2. Going to the far turn, Bierman let Alsab out a notch, and the lead was open to three, with the three-quarters having him run in a snail-like 114 flat. Rounding the bend, Wolf asked Whirl Away for a bit of run, and his mount closed the gap to two as they hit the quarter pole. At the top of the stretch, with 3/16 to the wire, the two rivals were just heads apart after having gone a mile in 138-3. Then came that never-to-be-forgotten stretch run that was to be forever indelibly etched in the minds of those in attendance on that gorgeous fall afternoon in New England. With Wolf going to the whip, Whirlaway pulled dead even as the two combatants were eyeball to eyeball. The huge clamor from the enormous crowd reached a crescendo as the two magnificent thoroughbreds matched powerful synchronized strides. Both riders were now using all of their consummate skills, driving furiously, both horses digging in, responding with every ounce of courage and strength they could muster. With colors glistening in the bright sunlight and the inseparable thoroughbreds in symmetrical full stride, it was literally like watching poetry in motion, an absolutely marvelous spectacle of sport. They thundered to the wire, locked together, a ton of horseflesh, inseparable, in an absolutely breathtaking finish. The final time of 156-2 flashed on the board, meaning they had run the final 3/16 in a rapid 17-4. Coming back to the winner's circle, shaped in the form of a large V for victory in the war effort, both were loudly cheered. Then came the agonizing and suspenseful wait as the crowd buzzed in disagreement over which had won after they both hit the wire together. When the photograph was developed and Alsab's number flashed on the board, a winner by the very narrowest of noses, the shouting and applause were deafening both for the winner and the loser. It had been a truly magnificent effort on the part of both great horses. The very first to congratulate Alsab's owner Al Sabbath and trainer Sarge Swenke for their win was the magnanimous trainer of Whirlaway, Ben Jones. Alsab versus Whirlaway, September 19, 1942, at Narragansett Park, a most assuredly classic confrontation and indeed a great moment in the world of thoroughbred racing.
Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich is Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What do we do?
Leave it to me, sir. Hello, boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Roger.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Roger.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come in. Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today.
Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meet.
Did you know since 1998, 236 Ellis Park race horses have won at least one graded race? 102 horses that ran at Ellis went on to finish in the top three of a grade one event, while 37 of those were grade one winners. Groupied All and Run Happy raced at Ellis and later won grade one Breeders' Cup sprint races. Keen Ice began his career at Ellis Park and would later on defeat American Pharoah in the grade one Travers. Record purses, a new expanded stakes program, and $42,000 pots for Kentucky bred maidens make Ellis Park the best place to develop your future champions.
Adina Spring Stallion Point of Entry.
Point of Entry scores to win the Man of War by four lengths.
A five-time grade one winner viewed by many to be the heir to Dynaformer's global legacy.
Wild final furlong coming here in the Sword Dancer, and here comes Point of Entry, who's running to daylight.
The first horse since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined nine lengths.
And they're coming down to the finish. And Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a five-race winning streak.
Point of Entry hails from a remarkable female family, with his first four dams grade one winners and or producers. Now with winners in six countries on all surfaces from 5.5 to 10 furlongs, including the sensational multiple graded stakes winner, Analyze It. And his second crop is off and running, with several promising juvenile winners already in 2018. The heir to Dynaformer and the next global sire is Point of Entry, standing at Adina Springs.
This is Jockey Orlando Bocachica, and you are listening to the Hall Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Voodoo Song and Oscar Performance is ranging up on the outside. Majula closing down the center. Balarox is next. Force the pass and fire away. Oscar Performance is taking the lead after three quarters in 108.36. Oscar Performance a length and a half. Majula on the outside is second. And then Voodoo Song toward the inside. It's Oscar Performance in front. Oscar Performance wins the poker by a length and a half over Majula. Voodoo Song was next, and then Fire Away. And Elusive Qualities course record is gone. 1 minute 31.23 seconds.
Wow. Larry Colmus with the call of that poker last month at Belmont Park. Oscar Performance, so good. And you could hear a new course record just shattered it. I mean, what an effort that was. Oscar Performance on his way to stud after his racing career concludes. He'll stand at Millridge in Lexington, Kentucky. Happy to have you back with us on the Equine Forum. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, trackside, literally from the rail to your radio. We are about 20 yards from the main track here at Saratoga. It is a muddy main track. We still have gray overcast skies. The forecast, though, calling for better conditions later today. I'm predicting a fast track by the time we get to the Whitney shortly after 5:45 Eastern time. We'll see if I'm right. Jude doesn't really believe me, but we'll see. I'm telling you, that track will be fast. Happy to have you back with us and joined now by Heedley Bell, who is with Millridge and Nakoma. They are going to be busy across the street at the Fasig Tipton Saratoga Selected Yearling Sale Monday and Tuesday and going to be busy breeding Oscar Performance to several top mares coming up over the course of the next year, 2, 3 years even. He's going to be spectacular. Heedley, welcome, my friend.
It's a pleasure, and I always love your recordings and your previews of introduction into this. You always manage to pick some beautiful things.
I didn't think you would mind that race clip.
No, I love that. Thank you so much. That was a very exciting day.
Were you there for that race?
No, I was not. I was not. But I sure did enjoy it very, very well. And it's his first start of the year, and Brian had him ready, and it was really spectacular. 20-year record is a long time. And, wow, it was very, very exciting.
Yeah, that horse, he deserves a lot of accolades. He's done some amazing things in his life and run tremendous races. And he's not exactly a horse that wins every time out. But turf horses, it's very hard to put streaks together unless you just have a blazing wire-to-wire type speed, because traffic is such an issue and pace plays such an important role. So,
well, and distance too, Jude. You're not offered a consistent distance of races, so you might be stretched or you might be too short and things of that nature. So he's a very versatile horse. and what makes him so many things make him special. But, again, a Breeders' Cup winner at two and then won all the grade ones at three and now at four to set a track record. And he's the most handsome horse, has a fabulous pedigree blend, which I think will really compliment so very many mares. And we sold 15 shares in 7 days from our initial offering. And,
wow.
And it was just – it's really fabulous to have a quote, turf horse that has been so well received in the market.
And we'll see him next week in the Arlington Million.
We will, with some good fortune, yes.
It'll be great to see him there. Great to see him get the victory. Let's start by talking about what happened here yesterday in Saratoga.
Well,
Heedley,
you.
A very, very special day for you. Keeneland co-founder Hal Price Heedley inducted into the Hall of Fame as part of the Pillars of the Turf ceremony. A very, very special day for you and for your family. Congratulations.
It was, and it was for so many. So many of these legendary figures who have made racing what it is through the years were recognized. And it was a very special day. We had a number of family members, Heedley family members that were in. And then they shared a beautiful video that G.D. Hieronymus had done. And then it was capped off with Cott Campbell, and there's nothing better than that. It was a great day. Thank you.
Yeah, it was very nice to see your relative inducted. You know, I've worked for Keeneland for 13 years, and, you know, I kind of know his story, but a lot of people don't, and a lot of people don't know how you're related
right,
to him.
Right.
Can you explain it a little bit?
Oh, with pleasure. He's my grandfather in Beaumont Farm, and my mother, Alice Chandler, is his daughter. And so he left her 286 acres upon his death in 1962. That was the foundation of Mill Ridge, and he also left her four mares. And she grew that. There was no development on the farm at the time. And she's a woman, don't forget, in 1962. And she managed to grow that with the help of Dr. Chandler and with the help of all of her team and to be something very, very special. At one time, we managed 1,100 acres and had 150 mares on the farm. We now manage 650 acres with 85 mares, but it's still a part of the farm. It's a part of Beaumont. And we have raised some fabulous horses on that land, and it's been going on for some time. He had a foundation mare called Alcibiades, who has just been truly incredible through me now, through Tom Fool, through Buck Passer, and such. So he left a legacy through Keeneland and the horses through Alcibiades, and now ourselves at Mill Ridge we recognize 34 Grade One winners since 2000 and course of the years like Point Given and Havre de Grace. So the land and his heritage has really emanated through my mother, who then has been a tremendous inspiration for all of us to carry on.
Yeah, really special. And now Heedley Bell, who is our guest here on the Equine Forum, working alongside his son Price Bell with Mill Ridge, with Nakoma, and that has to be special for you too.
It is, Mike. You know, it's so six generations, of which really generations that haven't been plotted out such, you know. What I'm most proud of is that nobody's rested on the former generation. They've used it as an inspiration to try to complement it and make it the very best it can be. So if you're involved with it all, then it's because you want to be and you deserve to be, and you have that pride and interest to carry on and be the best you can be. So Price emulates that as well, and he's great because he shares with our entire family, and he really shares with the entire community. His enthusiasm is infectious, and there's a lot about this industry.
It's so important now, too. We don't have a lot of family operations anymore.
They're hard, Jude.
Yeah.
They really are. You know, this is all we do. We don't have outset income, so you have to rely on you know, as they what you make, and so. It's hard to make a go of it.
Yeah, I would imagine it. But you have such a long history of success, but every night when you go to bed, you got to wonder, you know, what's going to happen next year, right?
Always. You know, the Ammermans were so – sorry to interrupt you, but the Ammermans, you know, for them to support today, it's all about, you know, how much money can I get and such like that. But the Ammermans supported us from the beginning with Oscar Performance to give us opportunity because we felt like he was going to, is going to be a breed impact stallion, you know. So they were behind us all along. And really the Hancocks are fortunate, Claiborne's fortunate to have those kind of relationships, but they're rare today to have that. And so we're indebted to the Ammermans. I mean, they're dear friends, and they're appreciative from their standpoint of what we do for them. So it's really a fabulous thing.
I remember sitting down with you and Price in the office at Millridge. Mm-hmm. We had a conversation when you were thinking about starting a program called Horse Country, right, and you were going to offer tours to people from around the country, around the world, where they could come to Lexington and to the Bluegrass, and they could experience what we get to experience on so many different levels every single day, and that's a tour of a horse farm. That program, Horse Country, has become so successful now, and there are so many people from all over the world that visit the Bluegrass just to experience that. And boy, hats off to you guys.
Well, hats off to many people. You know, it takes a lot of people. Luke Fallon and Brutus Clay were instrumental with Price and me to initiate that, along then with everybody else. But it's very much an industry initiative. It's a not for profit. It was vital. We all observed what Bourbon had done by working together, you know, and then all of a sudden they became a tourist attraction. They became the signature industry for Kentucky. And we're sitting here, we feel that the horse is the driver in growing relationships for fans. And if we don't allow them access to the horse, because they really don't get it here at the racetrack, you know, then we're going to die on the vine. And the McKenzie report provided by the Jockey Club had indicated that. So we said that, listen, it's really a no-brainer for us to work together. And then we went out to 35 different farms and clinics and hallway feeds and things like that. And we only had probably two people out of all that did not support us and don't support us. And we're led by an incredible executive director in Ann Hardy. Her energy and her passion and her direction and her vision are exemplary. And yeah, it's very exciting. Honestly, you think, you know, we're now in our third year or so. We've had 75,000 tours, every state, all these different countries. And it's access for Visit Lex, our visitor bureau, to really encourage visitors to come. It's the number one request. They can now get on farms. It can now be promoted in all the magazines and such. And our industry really is flourishing from that standpoint.
How many people have taken advantage of the Horse Country program? Do you know how many visitors have come?
75,000 in the 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, and more
huge
to come. And it's great for the farms too, because they don't have to mess with it anymore. They've got your organization to take care of them, basically.
Yeah.
So it's a win-win for everybody.
Well, what's so great, for instance, Justify, you know, WinStar's a member, so they immediately turned it over to Ann to start the touring and such like that. The Coolmore team, Dermot, did the same thing with American Pharoah. You know, now you've got a platform to allow the fans to come and appreciate the horse, and you build off of that. And what you're finding is that, you know, again, it's not anything that the farms have done in the past, but now they're building out towards growing it. Claiborne built a visitor center. TaylorMade bought a farm and a golf and a restaurant. WinStar, Darley have these golf cart touring vehicles. And so people are investing in it, and it's just going to continue to grow in the future.
Yeah,
it's really important.
You can go to visithorsecountry.com if you want to learn more and book your trip to the Bluegrass. Trust me, it is an experience. I still remember the first stud farm that Michelle and I had a chance to visit when we started visiting Kentucky before we moved there. We were still living here in Massachusetts, and it was an unbelievable experience. And
it's impactful.
Something that sticks with you.
It's impactful. And now what happens is that each of the farms, they share their story and they're passionate about their story, you know. So you're not having somebody that drives around in a van telling you about this or that they have no connection. This is right from the distillery, you know, the people type who've made it happen. So it's really fabulous. And it complements Bourbon as well. So really, Kentucky is going to become more and more of a destination state, you know, with all that it has to offer. The authenticity of it all is fabulous.
A lot of things complement Bourbon.
Until the next day.
Right? Yeah. Well said. Heedley Bell with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. All right, Heedley, you're going to be busy Monday and Tuesday night. You have three horses, not a huge consignment, but a very, very good group going under the gavel.
You know, for us, well, we're boutique, certainly, and for this sale, this is a boutique sale, so numbers aren't really the answer. It's the quality of the horses that you have, and we have three really beautiful fillies, And one's a tappet filly that's bred by Calumet. Beautiful, beautiful filly. And you say, Calumet, why are they selling? They've actually sold two Grade 1 winner fillies out of Saratoga. So they traditionally have sold fillies in the sale, and they've had extraordinary luck in breeding these fillies. And this is a beautiful filly, and we're delighted to have the opportunity to sell her a curling filly out of a foundation mare called Shop Again that's bred by our dear friend Toliato in a gorgeous, gorgeous filly. And then a beautiful, actually, New York bred filly by Carpe Diem out of a mare called Lemon Splendor. And, again, she is gorgeous. We've got her in the select portion of the sale because she deserves to be in that. So we're really tickled to have the quality that we have.
Headley Bell here on HRRN. Headley, really appreciate the visit. Can't wait to see those horses. The Millridge slogan, raising and selling racehorses, you do it better than anybody.
Well,
keep
it
up.
We try to do the best we can. And, again, without the opportunity from all of our clients and such and our team on the farm and such, it's just truly a privilege to have the opportunity. And we love sharing with you guys. Thank you so very much for having us.
Thank you for all your support, too. We can't do it without you. Really appreciate that.
You too. Thank you all.
All right. Headley, like all of our guests who appear on the program, will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. We'll get to another break. We'll come back with more. This is the Equine Forum live from Saratoga on HRRN, your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Power.
Royal Delta, my Miseralia, here is a champion again. Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Passion.
Pioneer of the Nile, full stretch, but keeping Chocolate Candy at bay. And Pioneer of the Nile and Derek Dollars have won the Sad Anita Derby.
Performance.
She wins it. Emollient for Mike Smith with a huge run in this Grade 1.
Gainsway Stallion Empire Maker is back in the USA with his first U.S. crop of yearlings coming to market this year. A champion on the racetrack, Empire Maker won both the Florida Derby and Belmont Stakes on his way to earning nearly $2 million. Now a highly influential sire and producer of 11 Grade 1 winners, including Pioneer of the Nile and Bodemeister, along with four-time Grade 1 winner Emollient and three-time Eclipse champion Royal Delta. Empire Maker, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Loom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Loom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizou with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Loom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
How do New York breds perform? They win in world-class company. From Grade 1 races in Dubai, where New York sired New York bred Mind Your Biscuits won the Golden Shaheen for a second time, to Belmont adding to his status as the richest New York bred with a close second in the Met Mile. The Belmont Festival saw two more New York breds become millionaires, four-star crook in the New York Stakes, and world record setter Disco Partner with a repeat victory in the Jaipur. New York breds, get with the program.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front, a gorgeous millionaire son of the Great War Front, has wasted no time in establishing himself as a major force in the commercial marketplace. Known on the racetrack for his electric turn of foot, Summer Front's first crop weanlings averaged over $100,000 with a sensational $100,000 median at the Keeneland November sale, all from an initial stud fee of just $10,000. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
Practical Joke always showed a lot of ability. He showed a lot of heart, a lot of determination. Right from the first breeze, he identified himself as one of the best in his crop.
Practical Joke down to the wire, the champagne!
Practical Joke took both the hopeful and the champagne stakes. And he's a fast, tough, precocious two-year-old, trained on, showed even better form at three.
It is Practical Joke in the Allen Jerkins!
He's going to be a horse that no commercial breeder can leave off their list.
Hi, this is Larry Colmus, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And here's commentator turning for home in the Whitney with a three-length lead. On the far outside, Student Council trying to reel him in, but time is running out. There's less than a furlong to go, and it's commentator well clear. Followed by Student Council, and here's commentator. to win the Whitney again. And boy, he did it with some front-running style today. 1-4, soundly defeating student council a long way back to a photo for third there. Grasshopper and Notional. Final time, 1:50.15.
Now, what a performance that day. Commentator winning the 2008 Whitney for the second time. He won it in 2005. Came back in 2008 to do it again. Great, great training job by the Hall of Famer Nick Zito that afternoon. And commentator, one of two New York breds ever to win the Whitney, Fiorito, the other one back in 1981. We'll see if either Diversify or Mind Your Biscuits can pull it off later today. Our coverage, 5 o'clock Eastern here on the network. Make sure you join us, Sirius XM 83, affiliates across the country, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net.
Yeah, that was quite a feat to win the race.
Unreal.
2005 and then 2008. And we had Nick Zito on Trainer Talk, and we talked about that a little bit. And if you're interested, go back to the archives at horseracingradio.net and listen to that Trainer Talk right before the Saratoga meet opened. Nick talked a lot about what Saratoga used to be like before it became the summer place to be.
Yeah. Well, hey, don't forget that hay season is here, and that makes now the time to save on hardworking hay tools. For a limited time, enjoy extra savings on select John Deere mower conditioners and round balers. Pay a visit to your local John Deere dealer to learn more and be prepared with tough and reliable equipment. The offer ends October 26th of this year, and terms and conditions do apply, but see your John Deere dealer for qualifying products and complete details. And you can also do this. You can call 866-678-4289. That's 866-678-4289 to find out how you can get an equine discount of up to, you ready? 28%. Yeah, off new John Deere equipment. Well worth the phone call. 866-678-4289. Visit your local John Deere dealership today and ask for that equine discount or call that number to learn more. Jude, we were going to go ahead and play the Ian Wilkes interview talking about McCracken in this segment, but we went a few minutes long with Heedley, and rightfully so. That was a really fun visit with Heedley Bell. So we'll save the Ian interview. You'll hear it in the second half of the program. Rick Violet is set to join us. He's supposed to stop by in about 5 minutes or so. He'll talk about Diversify. Ken Ramsey going to join us around 9:20 Eastern time in the second half of the program. And Pat Costello, our good friend from Paramount Sales, they are sponsoring a brand new segment here on the Equine Forum called the Philly Focus. And Pat's going to join us to talk about one of the top Philly races on the afternoon, the Grade 1 test. He'll also tell us what you can expect at the Paramount Sales consignment across the street at the Fasig Tipton sale.
Yeah, Pat does a great job, and he's always a good guest. Looking forward to that visit.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. The program here today, pretty solid, right? I mean, the whole day, we talk about the two grade ones. And, yeah, you also have the Fasig Tipton Festival of Racing that begins today at Saratoga. That means you have other races that are sponsored by Fasig Tipton, many of those on the grass. We did get word just a short time ago that races 1, 2, and 4 here at Saratoga have been taken off the turf. Races 1, 2, and 4 off the turf. Everything else still on.
Yeah, well, it kind of makes sense. We had a lot of rain overnight, and we talked about this earlier in the program, but if you missed it, the dogs are up. They're training on the outside part of the track, on the main track, and there's still a chance that a couple of the stakes could come off the grass, but they haven't made that decision. Probably won't be made until much later in the morning.
All right, the main track right now is muddy. It has been sealed. At least the inside part. You mentioned the dogs. For those people that are just tuning in right now and just joining us here on the Equine Forum, the dogs, the cones, are posted out away from the rail. So the horses that have been training and galloping this morning, mostly just gallopers and joggers, have been on the middle to outer part of the racetrack, not where they're going to run the races later today.
Right. They try to protect the inside. It looks like it's sealed pretty good. I don't know what the consistency is. I haven't walked out there. Don't really want to ruin my sneakers or get one of them stuck. But
let's do this. I'll actually describe what's going on. I'll paint the picture. Why don't you back up to the eighth pole and just sprint from the eighth pole. Ooh. Give yourself a good blowout from the eighth pole to the finish line.
That's a hammy waiting to happen, I'll tell you. Right there.
Well, our vantage point to bring you this coverage and our coverage of all the races here as part of our Saturdays at Saratoga series will be with you every single Saturday during the meet. That coverage presented by visitbarbados.org. Our vantage point couldn't be better. We are on a platform at the bottom of Section B of the clubhouse, looking right at the racetrack, as we told you, about 20 yards from the main track. So it's a great vantage point right on the apron. The finish line is only about 40 yards or so to our right, and down to our left we see the eighth pole. So we are right here in the final 16th of a mile. That actually the 16th pole is just over to my left. So
the easiest way is we're right across from the American flag.
Yeah, that too.
You can't miss it. Just find the American flag and look to your left or your right, and you will see it.
And that flag is still right now.
Absolutely.
There is not a single bit of a breeze here, even though we have the overcast skies. It's a bit humid. It's only in the low 70s right now, but we're on our way to the mid-80s later today. Yeah, blue sky. JT, look to the right. Blue sky.
Oh, yes, I do see a
Mark
slight
Hennig
red.
Knows what he's talking about.
We knew that already. You guys made $67 million in purses.
This track is going to be fast, I'm telling you. All right, we're going to step away for a short 10-second station ID. Then we will come back. Second half of the program, Rick Violet supposed to be making his way over here. We're looking forward to that visit, talking about New York bred Diversify in this afternoon's Whitney. We are back right after we pause. 10 seconds for station identification here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Justify in front. Good Magic on the outside tenfold. Bravazo, Justify, he's unstoppable. He won the Preakness.
Audible by three. Hoffberg can't get him. Mississippi is third. Five Florida Derbies for Todd Pletcher. Audible, no doubt about it. He won it by 2.5.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And here's Athena and Ryan Moore on the far outside, and suddenly they've gone by them all. Athena to the front, and she's pulling away late. And Athena will win the Belmont Oaks by 3 lengths on the wire.
Justified from Gronkowski. He's just perfect, and now he's just immortal! Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner!
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum. Rolling on. Busy morning at the spa. The show all presented by Red Brand Fence here in the month of August. Happy to have you back with us. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch. Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four. My beautiful wife, Michelle, the Baroness, handling all the duties on site with all the production and all the making us sound good, at least trying to make us sound good. Lee Delapina back in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios in the heart of the Bluegrass. It is a gray, overcast day. We just told you that a few minutes ago, but don't worry. The sun expected to come out later today as we move closer to that Grade 1 Whitney. Win and you're in. A spot in the starting gate of the Breeders' Cup Classic on the line this afternoon, and the spotlight on two top New York breds. Diversify and Mind Your Biscuits. One of those will become just the third New York bred in history to win the Whitney if they can pull it off later today.
Yeah, that's quite a feat. They'll join a very small but select group of horses that have done that. But more blue sky over there, Mikey.
I'm telling you, this track is going to be fast. Don't worry about it. I told you, you doubted me a couple of hours ago.
I'm still not on the fast track thing.
Oh, trust me.
The skies might be blue, but we got to see what happens with this track. There's a lot of water.
Our poll question today, you can weigh in at HRRN on Twitter. We asked you head-to-head. You get a head-to-head matchup in today's Whitney. Who finishes in front of the other? You can take Diversify or you can take Mind Your Biscuits. Well, right now, it's all Diversify. 62% of HRN Nation saying that Diversify is the one who will finish in front of Mind Your Biscuits. And many people, including the Morning Line odds maker, thinking he's going to win the whole thing. And that's music to the ears of our next guest, trainer Rick Violet, who joins us now here on HRRN. Rick, welcome, my friend.
Thank you so much. I hope the racing prognosticators are a lot better than the weathermen have been up here. They've had a rocky couple of weeks here. Hopefully they'll start to get some things right, like the sun will come out. That would work.
Well, Mark Hennig tweeted a couple of hours ago, about an hour ago, as we were coming on the air, that he was seeing blue sky. We are now finally seeing it to our far right, which is over on the clubhouse turn side. So I think we're moving in the right direction, Rick.
I hope so, but believe me, sometimes it can rain across the street and not rain on the other side of the street up here. It gets pretty bizarre, but we'll cross our fingers we've had enough rain, period.
Well, you're going to be a busy man this afternoon. All eyes on New York bred Diversify, the 7-5 morning line favorite in the Whitney, and rightfully so, after that tour de force win in the Suburban last time out at Belmont Park. Let's start there. Look back at that effort. Wow.
It was pretty cool, and it was one of the reasons that I was seriously considering skipping the Whitney, because it was such a magnificent effort. You know, it was fast. He beat some really, really nice horses, and just reflexively, after the race, I said, 4 weeks is going to be too close. But he kept kind of proving me wrong. You know, his appetite was great. He's moving great. His breeze was exceptional this past Sunday. Blood work came up flying colors. So the short answer is when they're doing well, you're supposed to run them. And he's doing better than well. He's doing great.
Yeah, it was so impressive to see that 59 flat after that huge race. And, you know, I just thought to myself, wow, this horse is just really blooming right now. I mean, you got to be full of confidence going into today's race.
As confident as trainers get, I guess. The 59 flat actually was a little scary. We had walkie-talkies on the exercise rider, and he went off in almost 24, 23 and change, and he kind of chirped to him at the quarter pole, and he just reeled off an 11 and a tick. And I think we went half and 46 and change, and I went, whoa, whoa, whoa. So the 59 flat was kind of throttled down. And, a minute and change would have been fine with me, just so we knew he was kind of on his toes and sharp and everything. The 59, normally I wouldn't be tickled to death with, but the way he did it was pretty awesome.
Rick, he's a horse that has so much free-running early speed, and a lot of his races, including that Suburban, have been won in kind of just catch-me-if-you-can fashion, and he just puts them away and kind of discourages horses that might be trying to make a run from the back of the pack. Ron Paolucci at the post-position draw said, hold on a second, we're not letting this horse get away on the front end. We're going to press him today and make him work for it. When you hear stuff like that, what goes through your mind?
I forgot that he said that, so you reminded me. It's probably a good thing. Some people might be more happier being in front at the half mile pole than they are at the wire. That's not the case here. We're high cruising speed. If they want to go crazy and be in front of us, then that's God bless them. I'm not. IRAD's going to ride his race and whatever range and comfortable position that IRAD has diversified, it will be fine. We do have very, very high cruising speed. It's a huge asset. And, we'll see what happens this afternoon. But we'll break running, and if they want to be faster than us, then they're going to have to go pretty darn fast.
They're going to have to do something to make that horse faster than you, because he's not. I just think they're going to see Diversify's rear end moving away from them. But, we know they don't run the races on paper, but that was pretty bold.
he's a nice guy. He's a character. He likes to stir the pot a little bit. So that's all. It's fair game. When they get in the gate, then it's up to the jocks and the horses. And we'll just have fun watching.
Rick Violet joining us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Rick, you've kind of made a living winning big races, big graded stakes races here in New York, and, of course, across the country too, but certainly here in New York. You've trained so many really, really nice horses. What would it mean to win the Whitney here at Saratoga with a New York bred?
Well, I mean, it's you know, hard to comprehend a little bit. I mean, you know, the Jockey Club, Gold Cup, the Suburban, the Whitney, they're these legacy races with just so much history behind them, with, you know, really great horses that have run in it. Secretariat got beaten in the Whitney. Anything you can really touch history and be part of it is pretty incredible, and, you know, we're blessed to be here. I mean, there are a lot of people who spent, you know, years and years in the industry and can only read about such things. So we're pretty lucky to be in this spot.
Yeah, that's fantastic, and you do such a good job, and you're always so straightforward. I love that about you. A lot of trainers, they duck questions and they just don't answer them the way you do. You're so together all the time. It's just amazing.
Well, I'm not so sure if I just have a big mouth. I'm not
sure. I don't know. He lets his horses do the talking, too, and Diversify, looking to do some talking later this afternoon in the Whitney. Again, our coverage comes your way 5 to 6 Eastern here on the network. You can tune in nationwide on Sirius XM Channel 83, on affiliates across the country, and stream us worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Rick, I know it's a busy day. We'll let you go, but appreciate the visit, and all the best this afternoon, my friend.
Thanks so much. Great talking to you guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Rick Violet here on HRN. Like all of our guests, we'll receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at embracetherace.com. Diversify, very high cruising speed. If he runs back to that effort in the Suburban, you have to think that everybody in here is running for second money, JT.
No question. No, I mean, that race is like an out-of-body experience. I mean, it's just sensational. So I think he could even bounce and win. He's really at the top of his game right now.
Good as that race was, I think if you really go inside the numbers and look at Diversify's best performances, maybe the best race of his career, at least the one showing here on the past performance lines, is that race here at Saratoga last August when he won the Evan Shipman, which is a New York bred stake. Jude, he won that race by 11 lengths, did it in wire-to-wire fashion. I know it wasn't the competition that he's facing today, but look at the numbers, the late pace numbers, the mid pace numbers, the speed figure, all of those things adding up to, you know, maybe this is his favorite track. Think about that.
Yeah, well, you know, let's hope so. But, yeah, that was a huge race, too. That 11-length victory anytime is a huge deal. And it wasn't over this quality of competition.
Right, right.
And his numbers in the Suburban were slightly better, his early numbers at least. I mean, when you see a horse pop off with 132 second call pace rating, that's in a different league, and I think he's very tough today.
Yeah, pretty special indeed, no doubt about it. Let's do this. I was thinking about bringing our folks the Ian Wilkes interview at this point in the program, but we want to make sure that we have enough time for Ken. You know what, we are going to have time for Ken Racing. Let's do that. Let's go ahead. And Ian Wilkes joined us yesterday on our Express Bet radio program, and he talked about McCracken going postward in the Whitney later today, and here's what Ian had to say.
He's doing good, you know. I'm happy with him, very happy with him. He worked good here, worked a real solid three quarters, 112 and three. Since then, I come back with a light 5/8 with him, probably lighter than I wanted, but that's... I said I've been watching Steve Asmussen train too long.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's a horse that just has so much ability, and you keep waiting for him to put it together someplace other than Churchill Downs, and I think he's starting to kind of get that reputation of, hey, he can only win at Churchill. I don't think that's true.
No, I don't think so, you know, because you go back to the Haskell, he ran a really tremendous
huge
on a speed track there. You know, he ran tremendous there. He does have to step his game up, you know. I'll be honest, he does. But I know it's in there. I just got to get it to produce it.
Yeah, what's a trainer have to face when that happens? When the horse, you know, he's so good and you just can't seem to get it, you know?
a lot of criticism.
Yeah, well, you know, that comes with the, every time you put one in a race. You know, I had a client come out to watch their horse run one time. It was a short price, like 3 to 5, and the horse got beat. And they were bad-mouthing me as I was going down. A friend of mine was in my box, so they were all sitting there. And he says, you know, you're a stockbroker, right? And the man said, yeah. He says, you know, when you buy a bad stock for somebody, they don't put it in the newspaper the next day. But when Jude runs a horse and it gets beat, it's in the paper,
yeah.
Right?
So yeah.
We know what that's like.
Oh, yeah.
But do you try to do something different, or do you shake things up? What would you do?
Yeah, you always – I toyed with the idea of putting blinkers on him, and he didn't like them, hated them. So that idea went out the window very quickly because he did not like having blinkers on, you know, full stop. So I knew that wasn't going to work, you know, because then I'm going to have just a ticked off – horse, you know, running around there, not being happy. So I had to change his training, just change it a little bit, tweak it a little bit, just trying to get that little extra out of him.
You know, they often say that when horses come here to Saratoga, they blossom, they become a different horse. You're starting to see that from McCracken, maybe a little bit.
Well, he looks great. I couldn't knock the way he looks. He looks fantastic. He's held his weight good, screaming for his food every day. You know, so. He's giving you all the signs that, you know, that it's in there. You know, there's a big race there. I just need to get it done.
He seems like a horse that needs some tempo. On paper, it looks like Diversify wants the lead. Mind Your Biscuits is really more of a sprinter than a distance horse. Do you think maybe he gets that pace he needs to set him up?
Well, that would help. But then you start looking at the form there, you know. You see that you got Diversify, you got Mind Your Biscuits, and you got Chad's horse, Backyard Haven. Their speed, but then there's a lot of horses that are very similar to McCracken. So where does that put you? You know yeah. what I mean? Really, that's why I've got Brian. He knows the horse so well, and he's got to judge. You know, if someone else goes and wants to push that pace, you know, he can back off of them. See it. If there's a big gap between those leaders. Then there's a big gap there, and then there's closers behind us. Well, we can't sit behind them closers. We need to be in that position, and anyone can see that is Brian during the race, you know. So you just have to trust him.
Visiting with trainer Ian Wilkes here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You're listening to Express Bet Radio. Ian, you mentioned Backyard Heaven for Ken Ramsey. Ken said at the post position draw the other day that he was just looking forward to getting another kiss from Mary Lou in the winner's circle. You've been there before in 2012 yeah. with Fort Larned. I'm not going to ask you if she's a good kisser, but
good.
But you know the feeling of being in that winner's circle for the Whitney in Fort Larned's so brilliant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's special, you know. And, you know, I'm very fortunate to train, as I've said. You know, words can't express it. You know, I'm fortunate enough to train for Mary Lou and John Hendrickson. And to be able to accept that again from them, it's just priceless, you know. And there's a lot of things that can happen special in the game, and that would be a special thing.
What comes to mind when you think about that year you had with Fort Larned and everything he accomplished? He would go on and win the Breeders' Cup Classic later that year. Do you ever stop and just think about it and maybe pop a tape in or pull it up online and watch some of those?
Yeah, you know, you'll go back and relive the memories, you know. It just showed how brilliant this horse was. When I had him right, no one could beat this horse, you know. He's so fast. He could go 134 in hand and then make a 5/8 a mile move as well, you know. As well as doing that, make a 5 and really get all the other horses. His strength was he could take the other horses out of their game and make the closers move early so it gets them out of rhythm. You know, they're not sitting there. And that year, 2012, I said to Brian, and that's probably the only time I predicted how the race would be perfectly run. I think I've given up after that because I haven't been very right since then.
But it kind of reminds you of Diversify a little bit in that respect, that he can go to the front, he can dictate the pace, and he can control things and make you have to make your move sooner. Otherwise, he's too far out in front by the time you start to run.
Yeah.
And, you know, talk about that relationship with Brian. I mean, he rode a horse for us when he was a bug boy, and I told everybody that I knew this guy's going to go places. But he's very quiet. He's like you. You guys are like the greatest unsung duo of all time. you never brag. I always tell people, Ian never brags about his horses. He never shoots his mouth off. He just lets them do the talking.
Yeah.
You know, and you and Brian, I mean, you're like 1 and 1A. I mean, you guys just have the greatest rapport, and you win races with horses sometimes that I think people don't pay attention to because you guys haven't been shooting off your mouth and all of that.
Well, yeah, you can have fun in the game, and when you get a good horse and just have a little, you know, dig with someone, just rather. But it's a very humbling game. If you soon find out very quickly, you know, because one minute you think you're a genius, the next minute, you know, you're just really, you know, the adversity of the whole game, you know, it can be very humbling.
He's as good as it gets. It's Ian Wilkes. It's a busy day for him. We'll let him go. Busy weekend. Good luck tomorrow, my friend.
Thanks
for coming
Appreciate
by.
Appreciate it.
All right, that's Ian Wilkes joining us yesterday on Express Bet Radio talking about McCracken. And Judy Herm say McCracken needs to step it up here this afternoon. And I think he is starting to kind of get that reputation of being a horse that really can't run his A race outside of Churchill Downs.
Yeah, it seems like for whatever reason he runs through the bridle at Churchill and just kind of runs around the track everywhere else. But, you know, it's in there somewhere. He's got it in him. I can understand Ian's point of view, and it's just trying to find the key to unlock the secret to him. It's interesting to train a horse like that.
Ian trying to get back to the winner's circle in the Whitney again after pulling it off with Fort Larned back in 2012. We're going to get to a quick commercial break. We'll come back and visit with owner Ken Ramsey, who looks to upset the Whitney with his talented runner, Backyard Heaven. That's next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Are you looking for New York bred weanlings by up-and-coming sires? Are you looking for an alternative to auctions? Bergen Stables has colts by War Dancer and Palace, and fillies by Jack Milton and Liaison. Come see the foals with their dams. And when you purchase, once the time is right to wean them, they're yours. Make your appointment today. Call 201-463-1174 or visit bergenstables.com. Bergen Stables, breeding in partnerships that get you close to the horse.
When you're competing at the grade one level, you need an edge.
As Competitive Edge goes on with it now to take over the lead.
And it's Competitive Edge with the lead.
His edge was speed.
Competitive Edge, the winner by 4.5 lengths.
Opening up to lead by 3, now by 4. Competitive Edge, spectacular once again.
The best 2-year-old by Kentucky Derby winner Super Saver. Competitive Edge.
Denali Stud, led by 2015 Farm Manager of the Year Gary Bush, and Donnie Snellings, regarded as one of the best yearling managers in Kentucky. In recent years, Denali has raised Grade 1 standouts Animal Kingdom, Taprit, Her Eminency, and Hawkish, while consigning Grade 1 winners Constellation, V.E. Day, and Bolt Doro. Consistently a top 5 consigner, Denali has sold a $1 million horse at the Saratoga sale 3 years running, and the sale topper in 2 of those years. Denali Stud, a proud tradition of attention to detail and raising and selling Saturday afternoon horses.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. Or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
How do New York Breds perform? They win in world-class company. From Grade 1 races in Dubai, where New York sired New York Bred Mind Your Biscuits won the Golden Shaheen for a second time, to Belmont adding to his status as the richest New York Bred with a close second in the Met Mile. The Belmont Festival saw two more New York breds become millionaires. Four-star crook in the New York Stakes and world record setter Disco Partner with a repeat victory in the Jaipur. New York breds, get with the program.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's.
And yes, sir, General Sir's opening up. He's opening up. He's got a three-length lead at the quarter pole. Roses and May, second on the outside. Peace Rolls has dropped back. Perfect Drift on the far outside is coming on now. And Bowman's Band is there, too, into the final furlong. Nothing left for Yes Sir, General Sir. Here's Roses and May. Here's Perfect Drift. Perfect Drift and Roses and May. Roses and May, unwavering determination. Perfect Drift is surging. Short lead. Roses and May, dead game. Here's the wire. Roses and May in a spectacularly game performance to win by a nose over Perfect Drift.
Tom Durkin with the call of the 2004 running of the Whitney. Unwavering determination, the term used to describe Roses in May and that huge win, racing in the red and white colors of owner Ken and Sarah Ramsey. Ken going to be with us here in just a couple of moments here on the network. Welcome back to the Equine Forum presented by Red Brand Fence. Baron and Pontiff, that's Penna and Feld, trackside at Saratoga. Hey, did you know that you can now use your Amazon Alexa devices to listen to Blood Horse Daily feature stories? Yeah, Blood Horse Daily has the latest racing, breeding, and industry news and analysis, plus entries, results, race replay videos, and more. It is free and available via PDF email, phone app, or now audible via Alexa devices. Visit bloodhorse.com/daily to learn more. Some news coming out just a few minutes ago. Dave Grenning of the Daily Racing Forum tweeting out that races 10 and 11 today, the two turf races after the Whitney, the Fasig-Tipton Wyeah and the Fasig-Tipton Lure Stakes, both have been canceled here at Saratoga today. Rather than taking them off the grass, they have just canceled them. They are going to move them to next weekend. The Lure will be run next Saturday. The Wyeah will be run next Sunday. So keep that in mind. Races 10 and 11 have both been canceled here today. So the last race of the program will be race 9. It will end with the Whitney. Also, races 1, 2, and 4 have been taken off the turf. The only race that remains on the grass today is race number 5, the De La Rose Stakes. And that's as of now. That race has not come off the grass yet.
Yeah. Well,
but all right, so I don't understand. Don't you have to take that race off?
No.
Well, okay, you took 1, 2, 4 off. You canceled the other two stakes. How is this one still staying on? What's the logic there?
Well, I don't know. I'm not the racing department.
Right.
But what I'm saying is
if the turf course isn't good enough for the other ones, how is it good enough for that one race? I'm very confused by this.
I don't know. Could it have to do with the rail settings or, maybe the fact that it's only a mile might have something to do with it? I can't really tell you. I know that, I mean, it makes sense. It rained here all night long, so the course is probably pretty squishy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd imagine it's going to have some give to it. It was listed as good here yesterday afternoon for the races, and no doubt with all the rain we had last night, it's deteriorated even more. So we'll see. As of now, the fifth race, the De La Rose, the only race that remains on the grass here this afternoon. Keep that in mind as you're handicapping the program. Don't have scratches for you yet. I'm sure there will be plenty with the other races being taken off the turf. But the big news is that races 10 and 11, the Wyeah and the Lure, have been canceled completely and moved to next weekend. So a 9-race program here at the spot today.
Yeah. Well, you know, it might have something to do, too, with the amount of scratches they already had in those races. Because once the turf goes soft, like a lot of horses can't handle it. So what they do, you know, is the trainers put in a scratch card. So if they knew they were going to have a lot of scratches in both and it was going to, you know, decimate the fields, maybe that was part of the idea of taking them off, too. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Owner Ken Ramsey is with us now. He has his eyes focused on a second victory in the Whitney later today. He's looking for Backyard Heaven to join Roses in May, who pulled it off in 2004. You just heard that race clip coming back from the commercial break. Ken, good morning. Happy Whitney Day, my friend.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. I'm sitting here in my office looking out at Backyard Heaven. The tractor's just passed where they float in the track. So just a few minutes, you're going to be able to hear the clip-clop of the horses splashing through the slop and mud over here at 116 Fifth Avenue.
Boy, it's good to be Ken Ramsey right now. You wake up, you look out your window, and there's backyard heaven.
Here, I thought you were cooking breakfast for your guests, Ken.
Well, I tell you what, I got two children up here, three grandchildren, got over a dozen coming up for the, I guess you might call the second unveiling, trying to give this horse a second chance. Yeah, they're fixing breakfast up as I speak now. We've already went and got some hand melons and all the good corn and tomatoes, so the living's good up here in Saratoga.
Well, let me tell you, we were so high, and I know you were too, on Backyard Heaven going into that Stephen Foster. But that was, Ken, let's describe that night to people for just a minute, because people will forget how warm and humid it was that night. That heat index was well over 100, I think, at the time that they ran the race. No surprise that maybe he just didn't handle the conditions very well. Is that what we're chalking it up to?
We hope that's it. We don't like to make excuses. But I was down there, and I'm normally, before a race, you know, cool, calm, and collected. For that particular race, I had sweaty palms. And if we'd have chosen up sides and smelled armpits, you'd want to chose me for the first one, because I was saturated. It was that bad. But the horse did everything he was supposed to do except at the head of the stretch. In other words, Irad was going to be laying fourth on the back stretch. There he was. Third on the far turn. There he was. Second, before they came into the last turn, there he was at the head of the stretch. He was in the lead. And I said, how sweet it is. You know, I have this doped out. Exactly right. You know, I pride myself on being a decent handicapper. In other words, I won't go into that. But I'll just say this. I'm good, and I know I'm good, and that makes me very dangerous, because I'm liable to cash a bet just any time. So I had my pockets full of tickets. The whole family was up there, and my God, nothing happened. Irad said he asked him, and the horse just did not respond at all. Scoped out clean, eat up his feed that night, trained well since. I'll tell you what, I hope today that he'll be a mudder and not a fodder. Although now, you may or may not know this, because I do a little more research on pedigree maybe than some of your average person out there, but his father, the sire, Tisway, did win the Whitney in 2013. So we think this is like father, like son.
Well, Tisway, fantastic horse, and he's been a tremendous sire, especially since he left the country. He's really taken off, as a lot of them do. But, you know, that's a feather in his cap, I think.
Well, I hope it translates to, the feet, a lot of time on the horses and all that. So I don't know how much he looks like Tisway, but anyway, let's hope he can follow in his father's footsteps today.
Ken, you mentioned the fact that you are an avid handicapper, and there's no doubt about it, and you spend a lot of time looking at the competition when you get ready to enter horses in these particular spots, and there's been a lot of talk that Diversify might just get out there to an easy lead and not look back. How do you see this race unfolding? How would you like to see it unfold for Backyard Heaven?
Well, what I'd like to see, Foal, I'd like to see Diversify bounce a little bit today, because he ran one of his biggest races ever the last time. So the fact that his trainer didn't enter him until 5 o'clock to want to check the blood work, he thought it'd be better off waiting, giving him a little more time to go into Woodward on September the 1st. So the fact that his trainer was a little bit hesitant to put him in and didn't plan ahead like we've been planning ahead, we've had this horse Backyard Heaven on what we call the Gun Runner schedule. That's the same schedule that Gun Runner run last year, including the Ali Sheba and the Foster. The only problem is we didn't win the Foster, so a little bit off track. But if Luch, who I hope he don't get out of the industry, because he said he thought he had been, I'm not going to say what he thought he had been, but anyway, he was thinking about getting out of the industry. So he made the announcement over there at the draw that he was giving his jockey $1,500 for every quarter that he led. So if Luch goes out there and somebody does look Diversify in the eye, as we all know, pace does make the race. And I don't care how good you are, where your name is American Pharoah, as happened up here in the Travers a few years back. When somebody looks you in the eye and the other jockey over there is kindly encouraging your horse to go, the jockey knows what's happening, the trainers knows what's happening, the owners know, but the horse doesn't know. The horse is competitive, and when the horse pulls up alongside of him, instinctively he wants to outrun him. So energy used up early is not there for the stretch run. So if Luch can pull the deal off today with his horse, Dalmore, and he does have a little early steam, that's all it takes. In other words, somebody to run with him for the first half a mile or three-quarters of a mile for sure. If somebody goes with him, then that may soften him up a little bit. Now, the other horse that that's got the best rag sheet numbers is Mind Your Biscuits. I'm actually more afraid of him today than I am Diversify, because this horse, he's really, oh my gosh, anytime you can win almost $4 million and knock down the Dubai World Cup, not the Dubai World Cup, but knock down the Golden Shaheen, which is they run it on the night of the Dubai World Cup twice in a row, you're good. So the only question on him is going the distance. So he's going to be closing coming down the stretch. I just hope he kind of hits the wall about 100 feet or so before the finish line. So if all this shapes up, if Dalmore goes with Diversify and softens him up, and Mind Your Biscuits doesn't want to go a mile and an eighth, we could very well be picking up the pieces, laying second or third coming down the stretch. So this Chad Brown knows what he's doing. He's the leading trainer up here now. I think he'll be the leading trainer when the final curtain comes down. So we believe in Chad today, and he likes the horse, likes his chances. So we're going over there very optimistic.
Well, that's a good scenario that you laid out. It makes a lot of sense when you look at the race that way. So
that's a dream scenario who knows? One of them may not break at all or get bumped, or who knows? When the gates fly open, as Jerry Bailey said, I've got plan A and I've got plan B. So he says sometimes that all changes in an instant the gate, so you need a good sharp jockey can make the necessary adjustment. And Castellano is not in the Hall of Fame all these different years for nothing. So let's hope he makes the right decision when the time comes.
Talking with owner Ken Ramsey here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, looking to win a second Whitney Stakes this afternoon with Backyard Heaven. Of course, you heard that rejoin clip coming out of the commercial break, Roses in May winning the 2004 Whitney. Ken, at the post draw the other night, you said that you were looking forward to getting another kiss from Mary Lou Whitney in the winner's circle.
Well,
I think that would be okay. You'd welcome that.
Well, I'll tell you what, it may be a little premature. I don't know if it was a bad omen or not, but yesterday I went over to the Hall of Fame ceremonies where I should probably, out of respect, call him Mrs. Whitney or Mrs. Hendrickson, but everybody calls her Mary Lou, and we even named a horse. Thank you, Mary Lou, for the help she gave us when my wife had the stroke. So anyway, she was sitting on the front row, and I go up after the ceremony's over with. I want to give my respect to Cott Campbell, a longtime friend of mine who once sent me one of his books autographed, so I want to say hello to him. And Mary Lou was sitting on the front row, so we made eye contact, and she motioned me to come over there. So I went over there, and she pulled me down and already kissed me.
You're already a winner.
Already a winner. She must have heard that or read that or someplace, because she definitely, if she knew about it, she wasn't offended, because she pulled me down and kissed me. So I've already, but nothing wrong with getting three, you know. I've got one in 2004 and one yesterday. I mean, maybe she saved another one up today.
That's our good friend Ken Ramsey. We'll see if he can pull it off later today. Again, you'll hear that coverage on radio exclusively with us here on the network, Sirius XM 83, and streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net, and, of course, affiliates across the country as well. You can visit our website to learn more. Ken, really appreciate it, bud. Go get him this afternoon, and we'll be cheering for you.
The only thing I can say about the race this afternoon, the field looks a little deeper and the water looks a little deeper than it did down at the Barbados Gold Cup where it ran 1-2 this past spring.
Is this our Gold Cup horse for next year?
No, this is the horse that I hope to win the Woodward with, and then hope to come back and win the Breeders' Cup Classic at Churchill Downs on my 83rd birthday. It's on November the 3rd. So, I mean, if we pull it off down there, you guys got to sing happy birthday to me in the winner's circle at Churchill for the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Not Absolutely. Only will I sing happy birthday to you, I'll kiss you, too.
on both cheeks. Hey, on the cheek now, none of this tonguing stuff.
I tell him the same thing, Ken.
All right, thank you, Jude. Thank you, Mac. I've enjoyed being out.
All right, have fun. Ken Ramsey
All
here.
Right. I always have fun, no matter what. Win, lose, or draw. We're over there to have a good time. And we'll enjoy ourselves and congratulate the winner just in the small chance that we could lose the race.
Go get it done, Ken.
All right, thank you very much.
Is there anybody better?
No, he really loves the game.
We need a weekly segment with Ken Ramsey.
Maybe we should just give him the show.
2 hours of Ken Ramsey radio.
Yeah.
How great would that be?
That would be fantastic.
Unbelievable. Yeah, wow, just sensational. All right, we're going to get to a break. We're running a few minutes behind. We're going to get to a break. We're going to come back. Pat Costello from Paramount Sales is going to join us for a brand new segment here on the show. The Philly Focus, all presented by Paramount Sales. We'll talk about the race preceding the Whitney. That's the Grade 1 test. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Once again, among the world's leading sires of stakes horses and graded stakes horses, Warfront has sired 8 champions and 8 millionaires. Recent Grade 1 winners include European champion U.S. Navy Flag and Lancaster Bomber, plus an ever-growing list of 2018 graded stakes winners. In the sales ring, his yearlings continue to bring prices well over $1 million. International super sire Warfront, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Discover the difference with Hiddenbrook Racing Partnerships. With 83% winners, 17% stakes winners, and 17% greatest stakes runners from horses purchased, partners enjoy success at the highest levels. Hiddenbrook has already campaigned a champion, 8 stakes winners, 3 greatest stakes winners, and 8 greatest stakes horses. In 2018, the partnerships have achieved 29% wins, with 46% of starters finishing in the money. Discover the difference at HiddenbrookFarmKY.com.
Bakari Bloodstock is consistently among the top consigners at major sales. Recent stars include Grade 1 winner Salty.
Here comes Salty down inside to grab the lead, and Salty has won it.
Bakari Bloodstock is offering 4 selected yearlings at this year's Phasic Tipton Saratoga sale by top sires Pioneer of the Nile, Bernardini, Honor Code, and Curlin, with hip number 161, a half-brother to Grade 2 winner Appealing Tail. Visit Bakari Bloodstock in Barn 2 at Phasic Tipton Saratoga.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
But it's Burned in Control as they come to the 16th pole with a 4-length lead. Dream Call chasing furiously in second. Burned a 2-length lead. Dream Call flying, but the time has run out. Burned wins the Molly Pitcher.
Burned, the 4-year-old daughter of Darley stallion Bernardini, rolled to victory in the Grade 3 Molly Pitcher at Monmouth this past weekend. Her 5th career victory for trainer Graham Motion pushes her earnings up to $374,000 and makes Burned your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley stallion Bernardini is the sire of 19 graded stakes winners and 13 Grade 1 horses on dirt since 2015. Only Tappet can top those lofty numbers. Learn more about Bernardini and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Lady Secret still has the lead. On the outside is Endswell, second by a half. City Galore is third. Lady Secret on the inside leads still by a length and a half. Endswell is second by about two. Now Cutlass Reality on the rail gains into third. On the outside is Sunny Galore. Further out is Fuzzy. On the inside, King Swan Skip Trial. Lady Secret has the lead by three. Endswell second by two. On the outside, Fuzzy gains into third. Then it's Skip Trial, but it is Lady Secret in front.
Marshall Cassidy with the call. Lady Secret, one of the greats. One of the great fillies and mares that we've ever seen in the sport of thoroughbred racing. Leads us into our brand new segment, the Philly Focus. We're going to talk to you about that coming up here in just a minute. We'll be joined by Pat Costello of Paramount Sales, the presenting sponsors of this brand new segment. Jude, we touched on it throughout the program that the race preceding the Whitney is a darn good one. The Grade 1 Test Stakes, 7 furlongs on a racetrack that is currently muddy. It has been sealed, but the sun is now out here in Saratoga, as predicted by yours truly, and expecting this racetrack to be fast by the time we get to post time for those Grade 1s.
I don't have a cookie, but I'd like to give you one.
You doubted me. Look, blue sky to our right. We still have the gray clouds hanging on to our left.
I didn't doubt you about the clouds. I doubted you about the track. I still doubt you about the track.
It will be fast.
Okay. At this point, I don't even care.
Well, it's going to be a great day of racing here in Saratoga Springs. And, again, we told you a brand new segment here on the program, thanks to our friends at Paramount Sales. It is time for your Philly Focus, all presented by Paramount.
This is the Philly Focus.
Forever together as one, a thriller.
Take charge, Brandy, in a stunner. Call back, held on to it.
Presented by Paramount Sales, the new force in thoroughbred sales.
Yeah, what a segment this is going to be. Focusing on the top filly races now through the Breeders' Cup World Championships. And to help us do that is Pat Costello from Paramount. Pat, welcome, my friend. What a race we have today.
Oh, it's exciting. The test is always a highlight for me when I come up here every year. It's lovely to see these great fillies, and it's a great race.
Yeah, just tremendous. And we're expecting Chad Brown to have another big impact in this race because he has Separation of Powers, the lone Grade 1 winner in the field, and he has Alter Moon, both of those fillies so, so talented.
Yes. And, of course, Into Mischief has got two in there. What an incredible sire he's turning out to be. I actually like Mia Mischief myself. I think she's a very, very good filly. And an interesting is the unbeaten Minute to Stardom. She's got pretty nice numbers there. She's unbeaten by Star Guitar. It's setting up to be a hell of a race.
Yeah, pretty deep. A lot of competition.
And
you're right about Mia Mischief. I mean, she's been a lovely filly all along. I think she's only been worse than second once in her career.
Yes. And of course, Chad's Separation of Powers, that's a really good filly, too. It's a highlight. It's a great race, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, Pat, it's interesting because we heard in that little opening segment to the Philly Focus here some race clips from the likes of Take Charge, Brandy, and Callback, and some of the top fillies that we've seen in the game over the years. They are graduates of your Paramount consignments. And you know a thing or two about being around these good fillies when they're really young.
Yes, we have a lovely consignment again this year, and Saratoga's been good to us. We have a couple of really nice fillies. A lovely filly we have is the Flatterer filly. It's a New York bred filly. She's hip number 53. This is a real classy filly. And for a New York bred, I think, exciting times for the purchaser, you know.
Are there certain characteristics, Pat, that you see in these fillies that are so talented when they get to the racetrack? Like, when they're yearlings, are there certain things you look for and you pick up on and say, okay, she, like this Flatter filly, she can be really special?
Yes, quality is, I love myself when I'm looking at horses, picking horses. Their mind, they have to have a good mind. They obviously have to be pretty correct and with a big walk. And them combinations, I think, together lead for good things, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people talk about horses with big walks and nice shoulders and all of that. But talk about the presence thing, how you know, somebody like you that has all this experience and knowledge, and how a filly will speak to you kind of esoterically when they bring them out. You just kind of know. It's like seeing a girl in a bar that you're attracted to. What? How does that work?
Yeah. I think it's vital myself. For instance, the great horse, American Pharoah, and everybody knows what a cool-headed, cool-minded horse he is, and he seems to be passing that along. We have a beautiful colt here. What hip number is he? And he seems to have that too. He has the same mind, hip number 224. And he's just a big walk. And I love a good neckline where it fits into a shoulder. And this lad has that too, you know.
Yeah.
Fillies, you can't beat a classy filly. I think you're right on their temperament. You have to have a good temperament because, you know, even these two-year-old fillies that are running across here, their brains can be fried pretty quick if they don't have the right mind, you know.
Well, nobody does it better than Pat Costolo, Paramount Sales. They're in Barn 1 across the street here at Saratoga's. When you're making your way up here for Whitney weekend, if you're planning to attend the sale or if you're going to be bidding from outside of the sale, all you have to do is look at those Paramount horses in Barn 1 and no doubt loaded for bear. And, Pat, you'll be represented in the New York Bred sale after this select sale. The New York Bred sale is next weekend. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we're very excited about that. We have 19 in there, some lovely sires. I know physicals is a very good physical sale. Of course, the New York program is rolling right now, and lots of people like to have the New York bred. So we have some really beautiful. I know offhand there's a Cairo Prince colt in there that's a really good physical and take charge in the... you know, we have lots of really nice horses there. We have an Intermischief filly in there that's a beauty as well. So we're expecting good things from that sale.
All right, Pat Costolo again, Barn number 1 across the street, Paramount Sales. Pat, appreciate the support of everything we're doing here. Excited to continue with this new filly focus segment. We'll shine the spotlight on the top filly races moving up toward the Breeders' Cup World Championships, and all the best at the sale. We'll look forward to seeing you over there.
Thank you guys very much. We look forward to it. Yes,
right.
You guys are great.
Pat Costolo, Paramount Sales, nobody better. Really does a good job over there across the street and at all the major sales. You can look for him down at Keeneland. And then, of course, all his different consignments that he does in November, and really well done.
Yeah, he does a great job, and he's got tons of experience, and the guy knows horses inside and out.
Real quick, before we go to our last commercial break, who do you think wins the test?
I'm going with the Separation of Power.
Yeah?
Yeah, I can't get by the fact that she's the grade one winner. She won the Frisette. She also has a win on an off track. I know you insist it's going to be fast, but I still think there's going to be some moisture. And she had a lot of trouble in her last race. She came back off a layoff. She hadn't run since the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and she ran 6.5 furlongs at Belmont. She stumbled at the start. She steadied. She was wide. I mean, you couldn't have a worse trip. And so I think it's her race to lose today.
All right, I'll take a shot with Alter Moon, the other Chad Brown. Javier Castellano aboard the meet's leading rider. She comes out of that big win in the Azalea at Gulfstream Park last time out on June 30th. We'll see if she can put it all together in her Saratoga debut later today. We'll get to a break. We'll tell you what's ahead on the network when we come back. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
The Maryland thoroughbred industry. For over 200 years, the innovative leader. Maryland was the first to have organized racing in North America and the first to establish a state breeders association. Maryland created the first thoroughbred yearling show, the first state magazine, the first state breeder incentive development program, the first international race to feature horses from four continents, and the first $1 million one-day stallion stakes event. The Maryland thoroughbred industry is the innovative leader.
Castleton Lions is home to blue blood sprinter Justin Phillip and multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Justin Phillip is among North America's leading second crop sires, represented by the exciting graded stakes place filly Safe to Say and stakes place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing in 2018. Justin Phillip is also the sire of What a Catch, winner of last year's Rockville Center Stakes at 2. Seven-time grade one winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance. The sire of Eclipse champion and Breeders' Cup sprint winner, Dre Fong.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
Canadian classic hero, Sir Dudley Diggs.
Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
And marathon specialist, Runtime.
But Runtime, motors on the outside.
Justin Phillip and Gio Ponti, standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
Freak yeah, Jimmy John's.
Freak yeah, what if I just needed one sandwich delivered?
Freak yeah, we can do that.
What about 100 sandwiches?
Freak yeah, we can do that.
What about 24 sandwiches?
Freak yeah, we can do that.
67 sandwiches?
Freak yeah, we can do that.
You know, 67's a prime number.
Freak yeah, a whole number greater than one whose only factors are one in itself, I know.
Great. I'll take one Turkey Tom, please.
Freak yeah, one Turkey Tom, on the way.
Freaky fresh, freaky fast, Jimmy John's, freak yeah.
Power.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again! Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic!
Passion.
Pioneer of the Nile, fully stretched but keeping Chocolate Candy at bay. And Pioneer of the Nile and Garrett Gomez have won the Santa Anita Derby.
Performance.
She wins it! Amaliant for Mike Smith with a huge run in this grade one.
Gainsway Stallion Empire Maker is back in the USA with his first U.S. crop of yearlings coming to market this year. A champion on the racetrack, Empire Maker won both the Florida Derby and Belmont Stakes on his way to earning nearly $2 million. Now a highly influential sire and producer of 11 Grade 1 winners, including Pioneer of the Nile and Bodemeister, along with four-time Grade 1 winner Emollient and three-time Eclipse champion Royal Delta. Empire Maker, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia.
My name is Paco Lopez.
This is Jose Lescano.
This is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Mike Pettit, Jude Feld, Baron in the backstretch, Ponta for the pick four, trackside, Saratoga on Whitney Day. Looking forward to that race coming up later today. Win and you're in. It's that simple. Winner of the Whitney guaranteed a spot in the starting gate of the Breeders' Cup Classic at Churchill Downs. Of course, we will bring you that exclusive coverage of the Breeders' Cup both Friday and Saturday here on the network. Join us for our award-winning coverage live from Churchill Downs right here on HRN. You can head to our website, horseracingradio.net, to check out that entire schedule as we take you down the road to the Breeders' Cup and all the way through this year's World Championships. Good yes. One today, JT.
It's a fantastic card. Hopefully we don't have too many scratches. They haven't posted them yet. They're probably not going to get posted now until, like, noon or whatever. But.
For the folks that may be just catching the end of the program here, the news coming out earlier today that races 10 and 11 here at Saratoga have been canceled. They're going to be moved to next weekend. So the 10th race, the Fasig-Tipton Weya Stakes, and the 11th race, the Fasig-Tipton Lure, both canceled today. So it is a 9-race program. The last race is going to be the Whitney, and races 1, 2, and 4 are all off the turf today. The only race currently remaining on the grass is race number 5, the De La Rose Stakes. So keep that in mind as you are doing your handicapping coming up for the races later today. Our coverage, 5 to 6 Eastern time. You can listen on affiliates across the country this afternoon. If you can't be in front of a television, join us here on the network. The Whitney, The Test, all part of that show from 5 to 6. We'll be joined by our colleagues, Mike Beer of the Daily Racing Forum, who will sit in as an analyst, and Acacia Courtney will handle all the trackside reports and interviews for us. So looking forward to getting the band back together later today. And that coverage, affiliates across the country, SiriusXM 83 and HorseRacingRadio.net.
Yeah, it should be a great show. I mean, it's very short, but it's two fantastic races. And it was so cool to listen to all the players this morning talk about their chances and how they see the race. And
yeah,
the only one we didn't have on was Chad Summers, but he's been talking to Anthony all week, so everybody already knows his shtick.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, Mind Your Biscuits, the richest New York bred of all time, looking to add to that total later today. I'm still a Good Samaritan guy. How about you?
I'm going with Rick Violet in the favorite Diversify.
All right. Didn't talk about Todd Pletcher either with Tappert, the Belmont winner.
Yeah. Well, he's...
First mention of Todd Pletcher. How do you do that?
I don't know. Todd and Chad, they dominated yesterday. Chad Brown, not Chad Summers.
All right. Our thanks to all of our special guests for joining us here on the Equine Forum this morning, including Jim Gluckson from the Breeders' Cup, Heedley Bell from Millridge and Nakoma, Ian Wilkes for taking the time to join us yesterday. You heard that interview this morning. Rick Violet, Ken Ramsey, and Pat Costello, all part of a very busy morning. For our producer, Lee Delapina, back in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios, for my beautiful wife, Michelle, on site. For Jude Feld, I'm Mike Pennell. We'll talk to you this afternoon. Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.